When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily, joined by Harrison Fagan. Of your deepest, darkest mentions, like the deepest pit of Tartarus, of Twitterus, whatever we want to call where Harrison has been residing for the last 24 hours. Harrison, I want to start by saying... I gave this take right after the game, but I didn't have the balls to tweet it.
Yeah.
Like, the people who heard me give that take, like, they heard it. Pete heard it. The rest of the guys from the LFR pod heard it. They obviously saw you tweet out your article.
How did they
today.
Hear it? Are they locked in on, I mean, with all due respect to your channel, are they locked in on Lakers Lounge post-game shows? I don't know. You were the official show of Lakers media.
Pete shouted, like, you know, I knew he was going to mention you because you tweeted it.
Yeah.
But I happened to listen, like, because I heard that I got mentioned too. So I was like, well, shoot, I got to check this out as well because I'm vain. There was Pete just, you know, calling us out. And, you know, all I'm here to say is you get that show has three hosts, that show has three co-hosts. They are all able to pop on here whenever they want. And if you're going to talk about smoke ducking and us being cowards for wanting to avoid the Denver Nuggets as much as we possibly can, you know, pop on here, y'all. I don't bite.
I'm not ducking the smoke, Anthony. I run up the chimney. Okay.
I even told Raj, because Raj hated your take as well. And
yeah,
he hated mine too.
I'm not surprised by that. I mean, Raj, yeah. I mean, I wasn't surprised that Pete. There was a reason that I didn't like text this take to Pete at any point. I was like, yeah, he's not gonna agree with me on this one. That's fine.
But I told Raj, I put the link in our Slack and I added Raj. I was like, hey, in case you want to come on here and yell at Harrison for his take, you're more than welcome. And he ducked the smoke too. So, like, you know, for a whole bunch of people who are, you know, calling us all kinds of this, that, and we, whatever, Pete went straight up Game of Thrones and did like the shame belt. I felt like, you know, he's your dad who's saying this to you.
I didn't listen to the pod. Because I have enough mommy and daddy issues, and I don't need like internet stepdaddy issues. And so I was like, you know what? If he's gonna yell at me today, that's okay. I got a warning that it was coming, and I'm like, you know, I'm just not gonna listen to this episode. I don't need to hear it.
They really didn't spend, the internet was making it seem, I think, like, everybody freaks out anytime somebody mentions somebody else. So the internet, like, kind of freaked out over it, and it is kind of what it is. But look. Invitation.
Wait, so should I not have written a 5-minute long diss track?
You want to hit play? We can just hit play.
I composed the. I spent all day composing the beat.
No, you can play it, and if it's bad, you can just claim it's AI. Like, you can just, you know, if it doesn't go over well, you can say that, you know.
Or I'll just be like, you know, that was corny. I shouldn't have done that.
Who do you think was most likely out of all of this to do the J. Cole thing?
I mean, it's still me. I mean, I fully acknowledge yesterday and giving the take, like, I am like clinically diagnosed as a coward. And so, you know, like, I mean, I think it's clearly me.
Yeah.
I don't like,
have you, well, that's actually like, where I wanted to start.
If they started yelling at me in person, I'd be doing the like, hold on guys, let's just break it up. Let's can't we all be friends? So I would tank my fight to get a more advantageous matchup later on.
So I was just informed that we have some friends in high places who happen to be watching right now. And here's your tweet. And I want to know if you've walked this, if you've, because of the amount of vitriol that you've received over the last 24 hours, here's your tweet. If the Lakers truly feel that any outcome besides a championship is a failure, they should do their best to give themselves the clearest possible path by throwing Tuesday's play-in game. As it stands right now, Harrison, that tweet has 344 likes and 10,073 quote tweets. It's a crazy. No.
Oh, I thought that you were going to say bookmarks. I was like, oh no, I'm not ready for this.
What's your last 24 hours been? As I'm not going to lie, I took the coward's route. I didn't tweet what I didn't tweet a clip of Raj.
No, you're talking about Twitter. You know, not only have I been dealing with Twitter mentions and whatever, but you know, like I put pen to paper, or I mean, digital pen to digital paper. There's a whole article for my employer, SB Nation, who you have not mentioned yet. That was,
I thought
that
I
was
did.
Up,
I think I
you know,
did.
On the, no, you did not, but was up on this topic. I, you know, I mean, again, I've been around in this industry. I'm not older, you know, whatever. I'm like, I'm 32, but I've been in this industry long enough to understand that, you know, when you tweet out something like that, most people are not going to read the article, and all the replies that you're going to get are just the people who disagree with you. It's like the Yelp theory, you know, like the long Yelp reviews are never the ones that's like, oh, I had such a great time here, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I had this mild inconvenience happen to me. And so, you know, I'm used to that to some degree, but you know, I mostly was just laughing about it today. And I did tell my wife though, I'm like, don't check my Twitter mentions, because like, you're going to be concerned for me.
My favorite response were the people who were thinking that like, somehow because you wrote this and because I said it on a podcast, that like somehow the Lakers were going to like, otherwise they would have gone into this game like fully prepped, you know, LeBron would have like come in here, guns a-blazing, you know, Anthony Davis would have miraculously healed from Larry Nance's dirty push in the back. And like, they all would have, they were all like fully prepped and ready to go for this game. And then they saw that you and I tweeted this and they like started rethinking everything. Like, could you
or
just
like
imagine
the people who were like, they're never going to do that. That's not what real competitors do. And I'm like, yeah, no, like I wrote that in the article that there's no chance they do this, you know? I think they should, but that doesn't mean, you know, how often do they take my, like, you know, if they took my opinions, they'd still have Alex Caruso. So I don't know. Maybe they should.
Right. That's what I was going to say, is that like, we know that they don't listen to my advice. Like, I paid it like four straight off seasons.
They might not still be in this play-in situation.
Like, now is when they start to listen though. When we say that.
I stand by it. I think it would be the correct move. I think it's time to start listening to me.
Well,
no,
so
I'm not backing
still...
down. I understand why people are mad. I have read counterpoints to why people feel. I think there are well-reasoned arguments that are not just you don't duck smoke, like for trying to face the Nuggets in the first round. I am not inclined to believe them, but I think there are legitimate arguments, you know, in terms of you get more rest in between the series. LeBron is theoretically at least as fresh as he's going to be. We'll see about AD, but he does not sound like, you know, he's going to be out a long time or super limited. I guess, again, we'll see. But, you know, and you know, hey, maybe you just sort of go in there and you try to take them out at their earliest. And hey, then you get an easier route through the rest of the playoffs because you've beaten the toughest team that you're probably going to play the entire time in the first round. And it's like taking a weighted vest off when you've been training for a marathon or something, and you're just like, oh, like this is easy, we already beat the Nuggets. I don't believe that we live in a world where the Lakers are, without some luck, going to beat the Nuggets. And so I would prefer to take your chances with, you know, the remains of the Kings or like the Warriors, whoever comes out of that play-in game, I'm more confident the Lakers can beat any of them in a one game scenario than I am that they can advance past the Nuggets without getting some health luck or something like that. And then you face an OKC team that you match up well with. You get the chance to issue the Clippers their final eviction notice, you know, from Crypto.com Arena. You potentially play a Mavs team that, again, like probably doesn't have as good, definitely doesn't have as many matchup advantages as Denver has over you. And then, you know, you get to the conference finals where you hope that, hey, maybe somebody else took out Denver, or, you know, maybe they do not have their entire roster intact by that point. We've seen every single playoff race be swung.
Or you get Vando back.
Yeah, or you get Vando back, although, you know, he was to some degree ineffective against them and whatever. But, you know, maybe you're more fully reinforced, and maybe, you know, maybe they've had an ankle turn or an inconvenient one or something. Again, I'm not like rooting for injuries. I'm not advocating for guys to undercut anyone or whatever. We just see this every year in the playoffs where some contender, some team that everyone thought was going to be really, really good and be a problem gets an ill-timed injury. And like, this is how it goes, and you get your lucky breaks. And so I would rather, you know, if you're gonna have this potentially unwinnable matchup, I would rather procrastinate that as long as you possibly can and hope that something breaks right for you and you get a better matchup. Because for me, I just don't see the Lakers beating the Nuggets in the first round, like really under any scenario, barring, you know, again, like a really unlucky injury. And I think the more rounds of the playoffs, the better chances of something like that happening are.
Well, it'd be one thing with the Nuggets if they were like a team that just came together, right? If they had some huge addition that they were still working out heading into the playoffs, you know? But like I've seen a whole bunch of people like, I'd rather face them early than late. And I'm like, why? Like,
the most compelling argument I've seen for that is not like LeBron. There's more rest between games, so theoretically LeBron and AD can go harder, you know, in every single game. Not that they don't go hard in the playoffs, but they're able to access a different level now. Because they have the rest. And you know, so they're able to do that. And then, you know, honestly, the most compelling non-basketball argument, and I've seen a couple people make this in the comments over at the site already, is that if they lose in the first round, Ham gets fired. And so maybe this is like, you know, we're galaxy braining back the other way. And it's like, either you beat the defending champs and your biggest obstacle and you move on and you theoretically have a chance at the title, or the Lakers are sort of forced to fire their coach and hire a better one. And so I can understand for people that are like, I want to rip the Band-Aid off either way. I don't want to get my hopes up for this team with two rounds and then have them get punted off the mountain again by the Nuggets in the conference finals. You know, I'd rather, if they're going to die, I'd rather just watch them die, you know, early in the first round and maybe force some change within the organization. Like, I can understand that take. I just, you know, I would, for me, you know, again, I'm not going to call myself a math expert. I had to take a W to avoid failing college algebra the first time. And so I'm not going to claim that I understand the exact odds or whatever, but in my head, it is better odds to, like, if you're going to be playing Russian roulette, your odds are better if you're like, well, I know the bullet, like, if there's a gun that has like one of the chambers with the bullet on it is marked and you can avoid that one, you're like, no, I'm not going to look at the gun. That's fine. I don't.
Yeah. Well, so like, even to the people, like, cause that was the argument that I had with you, right? Was, you know, well, if they do face Denver in the first round and they lose in the first round, they probably fire Ham. Whereas like, if they beat OKC in the first round and, you know, you as the 8 seed and you beat the 1 seed, that winds up being enough, I think, for Rob and Jeannie, who don't want to fire Ham, to like keep Ham around. To that point though, if like that is part of your math that you're doing here, well then doesn't it make sense to give it a risk, you know, like risk it again in that one game sample and maybe stumble into Steph Curry, like hitting 17 threes on you, whatever crazy number it would be. Like, If that's part of the math, then like then that one game sample, you know, and earlier in the playoffs or not even in the playoffs, that makes that decision even that much easier. I still look.
And it's like, I'm for not all the people lie. Who are like, oh, why would you do this? Then you're going to play the Kings, who the Lakers haven't shown they could beat potentially. And it's like, wait,
yeah.
Who do you think is waiting for them on the other side of the Pelicans game? It's a team in a 7-game series that they have not shown any ability to beat.
Right. Well, it's like that. I saw people saying like, what about variants? What about variants?
Go seven games.
I kept on saying,
I'd rather
like,
have seven chances. That's not how this math works.
Yeah, I know. That's like 13 straight. But like, it feels like 13. I kept on
preseason or something. Maybe it is.
I was seeing, you know, the one game sample variance. I'm like, the problem is against Denver, there is no variance. The problem is we keep seeing the same movie over and over again, right? You're banging your head up against the wall and somehow that brick hasn't budged. And that's, you know, being purely practical, right? Like, it was funny. My dad is an engineer, and to anybody who is listening who has an engineer in their life, you know how how they kind of operate. It is practicality above all else. And they find it really difficult to empathize with anybody because their brains are hardwired to focus on just practicality. And so my dad was here, and he has a drone that he loves. He flies around all over the place and stuff like that. And he's big into photography, so it has like a really nice camera on it, and he gets all these cool pictures of like the coast and all of these things. And my father-in-law for his birthday asked for a drone for my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law did zero research on what drone to buy, and it turns out she got one that got like really bad reviews, and those reviews wound up coming to fruition, and it was just kind of like it kept crashing and stuff. My dad was there. Wow, my father-in-law was like, it was so cute. There's like two old men just playing with their drones. And my dad was there while my father-in-law was trying to get his to work, and it was just not working. And my dad was like, well, just return it. And my father-in-law, who takes into account how like their actions might impact other people, was like, it's not quite that easy with the gift that your wife bought you. Like, that is, and my dad like pulls me aside the next day. He's like, why would that matter? And I'm like, Dad, you're an asshole. like, you don't care about these things, but a lot of people do. And so like my father-in-law was able to talk to my mother-in-law and you know, was able to smooth things over because he did wind up returning it. And I think he's going to go out and get the one that my dad has, basically. And it's all going to work out from there. Like, it's just, for me, I have some of that too, where I think of things purely from a practical standpoint. I do have to check myself all the time. And realize, oh shoot, what I just said might have an impact on someone. My impact. And in this case, all I'm thinking about is the Celtics are really effing good. And they are, like, they have a nice, easy path to the finals because the Bucks suck. Joel Embiid is not healthy, right? Miami Heat, like, basically the only thing that is standing between the Boston Celtics and a nice, easy championship berth is like Miami Heat voodoo magic that ruins their year all over again, right? That's it. That is all that is standing in your way, right? And that means that Boston is going to be nice and rested by the time they play whoever comes out of the slog that is the Western Conference. And for me, I want to, you know, give the Lakers their best chance at meeting the Celtics in the finals and beating them and showing them once again that team is fraudulent, right? And I'm looking at the quickest and easiest path to 18. That does not involve the Denver Nuggets. Like, it just doesn't. It never, ever, ever in any circumstance is going to involve the Denver Nuggets. And yeah, we can do the machismo thing. We can do the whole, like, Kobe would never and all that. You're right. He wouldn't. However, we could also just take the easy route here. Like, we could just see how this goes and hope that, you know, Vando gets healthy or Denver falls earth and does so before you face them, or you have to face them, or you just don't play them at all. Like, the West is so difficult that you might not have to play them at all. That seems great. That'd be lovely.
I mean, it's probably the least ideal matchup for the Lakers out of anyone, even in the playoffs.
In the league.
So I don't understand. Yeah. And so, you know, I understand calling me a coward. Again, I will fully acknowledge that I am a coward. But I'm a thoughtful coward. And, you know, I have thought about this a lot. I don't understand how everyone that is sort of, you know, within this Lakers media space for the most part has been like for the past like several months, like, I think we could beat anyone but Denver. You know, like, I really like our chances against anyone but Denver when they're playing. And then it's just like, well, you know, I don't want to look like I'm ducking smoke. So beat the Pelicans and play it. Bring on Denver. Who cares? I don't, you know, I mean, I get it. Like, I can admire that mentality to some degree. And like, you know, I wish that I could get there. And I'm like, oh, I feel really good about the Lakers' chances with that. You know, take your chances, whatever. Like, I would rather not take that chance against Denver. You know, it's like if you're in a gladiator arena and it's like fighting to the life or death, you're not going to like go point at the biggest guy and be like, bring me him. I want him for my first, you know, matchup. And in this case, that guy that is Nikola Jokic.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. Nikola Jokic is the mountain.
Did you see what happened to the Viper when he fucked with the mountain?
That's what I mean. They're running around, spinning around. They're like, no, we think we can beat him this time. And then he's like.
Yeah, I don't want any part of them. And I would much rather. Because look, I think the Kings have obviously given the Lakers, like, that was another argument that I saw today.
But that was the Kings with Monk and Herter.
Right. Like, I kept on seeing that, like, the Kings have been just as, you know, devastating to the Lakers this season as the Nuggets were. And it's like, yeah, but the Kings we saw last year were playoff frauds. Right. Like, even with Monk and Herter, they weren't able to beat a Golden State team that the Lakers beat in six. And then also that the other team that the Lakers could be playing in that one game setting is a Golden State team that the Lakers beat in six. And I think they'll be better this year than they were last year because Chris Paul is better at basketball than Jordan Poole. And Jonathan Kuminga has been, you know, has been taking real strides this season. So like, that makes that matchup a little scarier or whatever. Pods is interesting as well, but like, I'd still rather take my chances against Golden State because there's a chance, Harrison. Like, you made that point really well earlier where it's like, it's a chance. I could see the Lakers beating the Warriors. I could see the Lakers beating the Kings. I cannot fathom a world in which the Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets. I don't see one. I would love to have more faith in these guys, but like, I just cannot. I don't see that path.
It's like Jamal Murray twists an ankle in game one or something, you know, like that. That's
well, right. Like, injuries notwithstanding. I don't,
again,
like,
which I'm not like rooting for. I'm not saying the Lakers should be jumping under shooters or anything like that. Like, no, that's cowardice. And that's real, like, antithetical to like competition, whatever. Like, that I cannot get behind. Because you're messing with someone's like life at that point. And that's like, that's outside of
livelihood.
The bounds of competition.
Not life, but livelihood. Yeah.
Well, you don't know. I mean, I've.
Somebody's going to die from an ankle turn.
You never know. I mean.
I mean, look, I am talking to you and like I could like maybe see you on your way out.
All I'm saying is if somebody tries to trip me, that's attempted homicide. And I use that same logic on anyone else.
Oh man. You know what? I want to kind of scroll through the comment section here on YouTube, which, by the way, please do hit that subscribe button if you guys are watching live on YouTube. If you're watching on Twitter, please do head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge and hit that subscribe button. And I want to see how angry people are so far. We have Harrison, your opopinions suck. Joking. That's you know,
kind of nice.
You know, it's all right. Joking. Yeah. Let's see. If the Warriors lose, they are eliminated and Kings would play the loser of Pelicans for the 8 seed. Thank you, Roberto, for that information. We have Johnny Jenkins saying that Raj is actually J. Cole.
He is so nice that he would be like, guys, why can't we just get along?
We have Suds saying, you don't, you win, don't play games. You take on the challenge of playing Denver, period. And there's a big ass mountain in their avatar, which, you know, that's all right. Sud, go take on that challenge. Climb the mountain that's in your avatar right now. See how that goes.
If you don't you're ducking smoke.
You have exactly as much chance at climbing that mountain as the Lakers have at beating the Denver Nuggets. It would
be funny if Spud was like an accomplished mountain climber.
It would be funny. He's like, what was the free solo guy, right? Like,
yeah.
He's that guy. But we've also, by the way, we've also got we've had some, actually it's kind of hilarious. It's all about weighing out the lesser risk, says Tam the pessimist.
Yeah, I can't even get the pessimist on my side. Unbelievable.
All right. Well, the point that needs to be made here, and the only point that has mattered over the course of the day, other than like just me getting to sit back and enjoy somebody else being like the bane of Lakers Twitter's existence. But
people were so much madder than I expected. Like, I really thought that it was going to be like polarizing, but like 50-50, and there were going to be some people who saw the strategy of it. If there are, I did not hear from very many of them. I'm just going to say. You're going to tell me that none of you ever thought about it? Yeah, none of you thought about it even for a second. Even if you can't get yourself there and you're like, no, it's too disrespectful to competition. I can't.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying you didn't think for a second, you know, hey, at the very least, you're telling me that you're sitting there and you're like, and you're going to tell yourself, you're not going to sit there in a week or something. If the Lakers do happen to go all out and they happen to lose to the Pelicans, you know, maybe CJ McCollum gets hot or, you know, whatever, they lose and then they beat this other team in the play-in race that right now is being billed as one game dance with death. And then they're playing the Thunder. You're not going to be like, well, I actually kind of like their chances against the Thunder.
So like, the best reaction, I didn't hear it live because I was watching on ESPN, but the best reaction is the one that I pictured from Billy Mack, where he's like, hey, the Lakers are going to be the 8 seed. Look at that. Oh, wait, hold on. Who's the 2 seed?
No, he actually live reacted on air to the Nuggets getting the 2 seed, and it was incredible. He's like, it was like, he basically was like, Denver, you know, Lakers haven't beaten them in a while.
Well, I picture it like, because again, I didn't hear it live, but you know, like the old school, like hacky joke that they used to make when like somebody would be hot under the collar, right? And they'd be like, whoo, yee. You know, like, oh man, who are they playing? Like, are we sure? Like, is there a chance that the Lakers could give this game away? Is all I'm wondering. But again, all that matters, the Lakers are going to take this game 100% seriously. They are going to come out and try to win it. And I think they have a pretty good chance of winning this game. Like, I think they match up really against
Pelicans? New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the funniest part is that I did a post game podcast yesterday about like breaking down all the play-in races. I said I'm like basically 90% sure the Lakers are going to beat the Pelicans again. Like this is the worst. Like they're sort of the Pelicans Denver. You know, yeah. I don't think like if it was up to them, I don't think that they'd be playing the Lakers in the play-in. You know?
Yeah, like I think I mean another version of this right is like I bet OKC was happy that like the Lakers got to the 8 spot. You know, like this is the stupid thing about all of this. Tanking always happens. Always. It happens all over the league.
No one in the NBA has ever intentionally lost a game in order to get a better outcome. It's never happened.
The Dallas Mavericks just sat like 8 guys and like, yeah, like that, you know, they didn't matter. And even at the end of last year, right, they sat Luka and I think got fined for it.
Well, I bet the basketball gods really punished them and they're terrible this year, right?
Totally. Yeah. Wait, hold on. And like, you know, you look at like the San Antonio Spurs who tanked their asses off last year and this year, by the way, and they're going to have a nice high draft pick and they're going to be able to pair another elite prospect with, oh yeah, that's right.
Well, maybe their karma is that they're picking in a bad draft. I don't know. That's their karma for this year.
I don't know, man. Like I still trust the Spurs to be able to find somebody pretty good there in that spot. And yeah, like, you know, this doesn't strike me as anything other than that. Like, it's just a practical decision that, again, the Lakers are not going to make. And we're going to talk here next about, like, you know, what the Pelicans could do to improve their chances at least like being competitive with the Lakers here. And the reason that we're going to be talking about like them trying to be competitive is that like that last game that we saw these two teams with the Lakers playing the way that they are now and using the identity that we begged them to use all season. It was not close. It was not. And hell, when we saw the Lakers play the Pelicans in the in-season tournament, right? Like, wasn't that a 40-point dub that the Lakers had over?
It certainly felt like it. If it was not,
they beat the piss out of them. You know, and so like I think the Lakers are going to be looking to do that again. And whenever the Lakers play big and play physical against,
they beat the Pelicans, Lakers so bad that the entire national, or they beat the Pelicans so bad in the play-in that the entire national media basically staged an intervention with Zion Williamson on air.
Yeah, he just started fat shaming him for the next week.
Yeah,
but like I anticipate that Harrison, is there anything that you could think of that the Pelicans can do here to make that like to beat the Lakers here? Because here's the other thing. It is the second game on the road against a team that is a higher seed than you. The Pelicans have been, they're a weird team. Whenever nobody was paying attention to them, they played really, really well. And anytime anybody cared even a little bit about what they were doing, they did something super embarrassing. But there is a ton of talent on that team. And there are some things I think that they can do to make things a little bit more difficult on the Lakers. But like, what comes to mind for you when I ask you that?
I think if I'm them, I'm sending the King Cake Baby to the Lakers team hotel. I'm just having him hang out and sort of stalk the hallways. Just, you know, get him uncomfortable. Just peer out from behind corners, you know, like half the face is sort of coming around the wall just like this, you know, something like that. And I think that's my number one strategy. Just see if you can give them insomnia tonight, you know, and get just a really bad night's sleep. Send some bands down to the hotel to play really loud music. You know, I think you got to hope for that. And then, I mean, honestly, really the only strategy that I see for them, or, you know, the only hope that I see for the Pelicans, is really hot shooting game from three from their guys. I mean, we've seen the Lakers will concede jumpers to guys. And if the Pelicans just hit a crazy amount, then, you know, they may be able to send the Lakers home. But to be honest, I just think that the Lakers kind of have their number, you know, with AD clearly has no fear versus anyone in this matchup when he's not being shoved in the back. And LeBron, you know, seems to really just kind of welcome the challenge of Zion. And, you know, it was funny. They were playing, you know, they were almost playing the Rondo defense on him at times the other day, where most teams will not do that and give Zion a head of steam. But they're like, no, that's okay. Bump into my chest. Like, see what happens. Yeah. Like, we're brick walls too. Good luck.
And even like, you know, Zion looked like, have you ever seen like what it actually looks like when a bull is in a china shop? Have you actually like, they won't knock stuff over. Like, that's an actual thing. Like, I saw that on Mythbusters. It? Yeah, they put a bull in a china shop, and the bull just, like, kind of, like
well, but did they
there.
Try to scare it?
I don't know. Well, that's just asking.
I would assume if you scared it, then it would probably break all the china in the china. I don't think the theory is, like, don't let bulls shop here. It's like, if one were to get spooked inside the china shop, it would start, like, kicking.
No, I think I think they try to avoid bulls being in china shops at all. Like, I don't think I got it. because eventually maybe they do get spooked. But like, I really kind of think
they don't
that
let Alex
look.
Alex Caruso and Andre Drummond can't shop for fine china. You know,
they gotta get a shopper.
That's what they meant. It was like Andre Drummond on the break. He just like, he knocks into people like his teammates and, you know, whatever.
On alley-oop attempts.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like the Zion like really does kind of have the look of a bull in a china shop, where they're just kind of like, wait, what? Like, you're gonna give me this room? Like, and then the first time, it wasn't even against LeBron or AD that I think he was kind of surprised, but he bumped into Rui and Rui didn't move, and he's like, that's the smallest one. Yeah. What the hell? You know, like that kind of, and it's a tough matchup for him. I also think that like Zion and Nance are too short and to handle the LeBron AD pick and roll. And that's why you saw so many lobs over the top. And I think that they would probably use Jonas a little bit more just to get somebody who doesn't get moved so easily defensively.
I don't think they're going to, because Willie Green seems to hate him. You know, every like sort of podcast, playoff preview, you know, whatever that I listen to, watching the Pelicans, if you look at the minutes totals, you know, like Valanciunas just like he will regularly just get benched. And I think that he's mostly just sort of washed. And so I think they're like trying to figure other stuff out.
I mean, sure, but I thought he looked okay in the short time. Now, he only played 7 minutes in the game that the late in their last
there
game.
There you
but go. I mean, you're right. Like, maybe he just doesn't. Yeah. Maybe Willie just doesn't use him at all. but they need somebody there who isn't going to get moved as easily as everybody on that roster was getting moved by, whether it was LeBron, Anthony Davis, or Rui, when those guys were on offense and the Pelicans were on defense. But yeah, I, you know, it's the shooting variance is one thing. I do think defensively, I think that one thing that the Lakers did a ton of was move Reeves and D'Lo off of the ball and had LeBron on the ball a lot more. So I'm kind of wondering if they, if the Pelicans are going to do something more to try to force the Lakers to give the ball to D'Lo and Austin and let their wings try to, you know, because their wings are equipped to defend D'Lo and Austin. Like those are the type of defenders that the Lakers.
It would be funny if they were just like 4D chess. They're like, we have this great game plan for. The only reason this theory doesn't work is because yesterday's game mattered to them. Like if they had won, they could have just avoided the play-in entirely. But you know, maybe they were just holding all the cards back. You know, for that second matchup, they're like, all right, Darvin, you show us what you got, and then we're gonna make these adjustments in game two.
Yeah, I remember. When I did my little stint in coaching or whatever, I was working for a coach and the team needed a bucket, not like a bucket to win or whatever, but it would have helped ice the game or whatever. And they, you know, the time came where they timeout was called and I'm like, hey, this team is not well equipped to handle this set at all. And he's like, yeah, but Canyon High is over there and they're taping this. I don't want them to get tape on this play that you want to run. And I'm like, yeah, but it just seems like you're way overthinking it. If you aren't using your best sets because you don't want it on tape or on film at all.
I mean, I would get it if it was a meaningless game, but it did have some meaning. It was a league game. So I don't think that's actually what happened.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's much that the Pelicans can really do here, but I do think that like here's my like final stance on the whole tank or not the tank thing, and we'll kind of end it. We got one super comment, so we'll read that and we'll get out of here. But my final stance is that like, okay, no, I know that the Lakers are not going to tank the game. I know that zero that is chance. Not how this is. Yeah, it is not going to happen at all. And I think there's a good chance that the Lakers are going to beat the Pelicans in that play-in game because they're going to take it seriously. But if they lose, you know, if they lose,
I'm just saying, I don't want to hear from any Lakers fans about how much better the matchup is with OKC. And this is really a blessing in disguise. If they lose this first game and then they win the 9-10, you know, versus the winner of that, they beat them and make it to the first round. I don't want to hear from anyone about how much success they've had against OKC and how this is actually like a better matchup. And so it kind of all worked out.
Absolutely. If I see any of those takes from any of you fuckers who've been yelling at Harrison and me over the course of the day today, I'm
just saying,
writing an angry letter.
Yeah.
I'm getting AI to write me a diss track. All right. So let's, it's a point that we've already made here, but it does give me the, an excuse to play this. Fuck Washington! Legend.
By the way,
says,
if you enjoy that sound effect, we have an article up on SBNation.com today about why the Celtics might be frauds. And so, you know, feel free to go check that out.
Might be? I've been saying they're frauds all year.
Yeah, all I mean, there's the question we should ask. Should the Lakers rest their starters against Boston in the finals and just let, you know, Austin and D'Lo cook them up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Legend says, won't it be better to lose in round one than losing in the Western Conference Finals? Front office will have an excuse to not fire Ham if we make the Western Conference Finals. And if we beat Denver, a chip is possible. If we beat Denver is not something that I'm like, you know, even considering a possibility. I'm sorry. Here, I know I saw people in the comment section who are asking, like, why am I so scared of Denver? It's because, generally speaking, it's not just Jokic. It's the entirety of that five-man lineup where they are bigger at basically every position, almost every position, than the Lakers are. And when the Lakers are playing their absolute best, when the Lakers lean into their identity of bigger, stronger, faster, and being super physical and getting after it defensively, that's when the Lakers are at their best. But their best doesn't really impact Denver in the same way as everybody else. So I would rather play against OKC, OKC, who I know can't handle the Lakers playing that kind of physical, right? I know that the Lakers, like, there are plenty of other teams around the bracket who can't handle the Lakers playing that kind of physical. And Denver does. Like, Denver handles it. They take it, and they just roll with it.
I'm sorry. I just saw a from Cat Maids in the comments. Technically, the Viper should have won. Well, I'm sure that probably wasn't that much consolation to him afterwards, but it is a fair point. No, I mean, I don't know. My thing is, there were also people, like, Thunder fans were really mad at the take. And it's like, I'm not saying the Lakers are, like, I'm picking them in a sweep against the Thunder or something like that. I might. But, you know, I'm not saying that right now. I'm just saying that I can see them beating the Thunder. I cannot see them beating Denver, barring, you know, again, like, some sort of injury or, you know, act of God in some way. And so that's sort of where I'm at. And so
what are you angry about? You're the youngest one seed ever, and the Lakers beat you three times out of four this year. What are you whining about?
We're disrespecting them, Anthony. We're disrespecting Shea, J-Dub, and the boys, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sure. You know, I've drank the holy Baja Blast from Dune 2, and I'm seeing a pathway. It's not going to be easy, but I see the way through. And so, you know, I think that involves losing against the Pelicans and beating the winner of the 9-10 game and then facing the Thunder. And then, you know, you just hope for the best.
You want to know what an example, we've seen the Lakers. It's not apples to apples. And this is probably technically, like, it's not oranges to apples, like pears to apples, right? It's like roughly similar to me. But the Lakers in last year's playoffs, because of the physical state that LeBron was in and because of the physical state that Anthony Davis was in, basically had to, like, really, really try, like, as hard as they possibly could every other game, right?
Yeah.
And like, that second game, it was kind of like, if we won it, cool. If not, let's, like, really regather, like, and then
let's try and keep it close so that we can maybe out execute at the end, type of thing.
Right, right. And that's kind of how I'm looking at this game. You know, like, it's like, if you can win it, okay. But, like, if not, it's not the end of the world. You have your next game to move on and have an easier path through the Western Conference. And that's, I don't know. I totally get why fans are feeling the way that they are about this. And I totally understand that, like the idea that another fan would root against their team in this spot or hope that their team doesn't take it seriously.
I'm not even necessarily rooting against them. It's just, I think this is what they should do. I'm not going to watch tomorrow's game and be like, hell yeah, go Zion, you know? Like, I don't... It's not like that. It's just like, I, you know, if they were to come to me and they were to ask me what I think they should do, this is what the opinion that I would give. But fortunately, you know, I'm not in charge. I just get to watch, and I'm going to enjoy however long their run is, you know, for however long it goes. And, you know, I mean, whether that's the first round or, you know, they win banner number 18. I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'd certainly be happier about the second one, but I mean, I also have no control over it. And so
if they go down that path and win championship number 18, we get spots on the parade.
I get to be on. No, I get my own float. If that is how things shake out,
I will fly home to take nobody. Part in
none
that
of
parade.
You. None of you get to celebrate the victory over the Thunder in this scenario. Okay. None of you are allowed to be happy about this. You all have to be mad that the Lakers lost that first play-in game and ducked the smoke and didn't play Denver in the first round.
Yeah. We did get one more super comment here. So Legend says, don't rule out Mavs. If the Lakers play them, they're done. I actually like the Lakers matchup against the Mavs. Like,
I like it more than Denver.
Yeah, like, the Mavs don't really have anything.
Like, do
you want to
fight
Davis?
The puppy, or do you want to fight the special forces guy holding two knives? You know, I'd rather.
Like, I don't think the Mavs are a puppy.
Okay, yeah, I guess the Mavs isn't like that big of a disparity, but it's like, do you want to fight me, or do you want to fight Anthony? You know, it's like it. Like, I'm not saying that you're like majority. That you're like a heavyweight fighter or something, but you know, you are a former boxer trainer. Like, I am the most fragile man alive. And so it's like,
I'm glad you explained that, because the vast majority of my audience, I'm sure, is like, both either.
Yeah. I'm like, I, you know, again, I don't care how confident you are, you know, like, I don't think anyone like, you know, of neutral physical ability is going to be like, no, I'm taking Anthony, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That is
going to do it here. I mean, maybe they just really hate your takes and they've been waiting for it. And they're like, hey, even if I go down, like, at least I got to punch that guy. It's like at least, you know, Ham gets fired early if they lose early. Which, again, I don't think it's a guarantee, you know,
I'd like, really, really respect it. Like, if it was just like, you know what? That guy,
they're like, no, you pissed me off today, but this guy has been pissing me off for years. And
on multiple streams, on multiple platforms, this guy has been awful, and here we are. I had a chance to punch him in the face and I took it. That's a perfect place to end this episode. So on that note, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. This was technically a throwback to the old Team Tank podcast from way back in the day, where we used to hop on that show and literally get angry when the Lakers won games. Now, if they won games because Jordan Clarkson played well, that was one thing. But it was never the case for the first half of the season. It was always Ronnie Price doing dumb. Yeah. but it was. I should have tried to find. I don't even know if we still have that logo anywhere. But anyway, until the next time you guys hear from us.
It'll be after the game tomorrow. I'm just saying, if Raj starts coming on tomorrow, if the Lakers do happen to lose for some reason, he's like, well, you know, Anthony, you got to play who's in front of you. And I don't think that the Lakers can't beat the Kings and can't beat the Warriors. You know, I'm going to leave hundreds of dollars of super comments in the, just like, so that you have to read every one of my insults of Raj on air. I'm spending my whole paycheck.
You're the cheapest man alive. And that's what you would use your paycheck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been saving. I'm taking it out of my 401k. All right. I'm going to pay the taxes on it. That's how much I'm ready. I'm ready to do this.
It's a write-off, I think. until the next time you guys hear from us, which will be tomorrow after the game. I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you tomorrow.